This is the Mike McConnell Show, and I'm Paul Lissick, and I have been waiting all morning to do this interview. If you are a fan of television, the stage, film, you are about to hear from an American icon, a legend. He's an actor, a director, a producer, a writer, a comedian, 12 Emmy Awards, a Grammy Award, and he's just come out with a brand new book called I Remember Me, an honor and a privilege to speak with the great Carl Reiner. Carl, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. Paul, how are you?
I am good. I know it's a little bit earlier on the West Coast where you are, and I appreciate your getting up and joining in to reminisce a little bit.
I had to get up anyway to talk to you.
Now, this is true. That's right. You know, some people are probably saying, you know, Carl, wait a minute. He's kind of up there in years. You know, I've done the math, Carl. I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you on March 20th are about to turn 91.
Yes, if I'm allowed, and so far everybody's allowing me to, so I'll do it.
Well, listen, I've seen you on television lately. You're looking great. You're sounding great. I want to talk about this new book, I Remember Me. Now, we came in playing the Dick Van Dyke theme because I just think one of your best-known accomplishments is you are indeed the creator of the Dick Van Dyke Show. I actually thought the whole book was going to be about that, but indeed, no, we only get a few pages about that. And by the way, Carl, unlike most of your interviews, I've read your book.
Wow.
Every page. Well, because it's a fast read. The stories you tell, it's like you're sitting there having a cup of coffee with you, listening to these stories.
I call it a good toilet book because I don't... I think there's 53 chapters, but some of them are 2, 3, 4 pages, and it's really a good, excellent toilet book.
Well, that's what get me reading, because every time I go to a new chapter, I'd say, I'll pick it up later. I went, it's 3 pages, I'll read it.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you were... What story do you want me to talk about?
Well, first of all,
Before I go one step further, I've got to say, a lot of people left their heart in San Francisco. I left mine in Chicago a long time ago because Chicago has the greatest memories for me. The very first big success I had was in a musical called Call Me Mister. I played at the Schubert Theater in Chicago. Robbie Reiner, who is now a brilliant filmmaker and is on in years... He was 6 weeks old when we brought him to Chicago.
And in case people aren't catching it yet, that's Rob Reiner. He's your son, the famous meathead, Mike Stivic from All in the Family.
Hey, here's a question. We stayed at a hotel, my wife and I, in a one-room apartment with a hot plate. Robbie was 6 weeks old, and I traveled on the loop to get to, I think, the Schubert Theater, wasn't it?
Well, now it's called the Bank of America Theater, sadly, but no, it's fine. But you're right. I'm going to always call it the Schubert Theater, too, Carl.
Anyway, it was the New Lawrence Hotel. I don't even know if it still exists.
It's not familiar to me. I'm going to guess not, or maybe it's renamed now. You know, so much has changed in this city. I want to, and by the way, folks that want to talk to you, our lines are filling up, so I've got so many questions, but fans want to say hi to you too. 312-981-7200. And by the way, we're in a street side studio here. Lots of folks waving into you. They know that you're on and they want to be, and they are listening to you. Before I get to the phones, a quick story, Carl. Dick Van Dyke, it is one of my favorite stories. People may not realize you actually originally wrote that, had a different name. It was called Head of the Family. You were supposed to star in it, except you realized maybe you're not the right guy.
Well, I made the pilot. I wrote 13 episodes. After finishing on a show of shows, I was offered a lot of situation comedies. They weren't terribly good. My wife said, why didn't you write one? And I actually wrote this show for myself. I wrote about what I knew about, which was the home life of a guy who worked on television in a review format. And I did 13 episodes. We did the pilot. It was okay. It was just okay. And it never sold. I went on to do movies with Doris Day, and I was in the middle of a fairly good movie writing career. I was called in by my agent, who couldn't stand the fact that we're 13 episodes of a really good show that wasn't going to get on. So he put me in touch with Sheldon Leonard, who he and Danny Thomas had an organization called TNL Productions. And I said, I'll go see him, but I'm not interested in doing anything further. And Sheldon said, I read your script. I said, listen, Sheldon, I got to tell you, I failed with this once. I don't want to fail with the same material twice. And he said, and this is a fairly good impression, Sheldon, he says, Carl, you won't fail because we'll get a better actor to play you.
That's right. That is a good Sheldon.
He suggested Dick Van Dyke and the rest, as you say, is a kind of a history.
And it is. And the story is just filled with so many books. You going to see Don Rickles with Frank Sinatra at the table, and Don Rickles having the guts to take on Frank Sinatra. So much to talk about. But, Carl, I'm going to let some people say hi to you. We're talking to Carl Reiner, television legend. His new book is called I Remember Me. It's a good thing you can still remember you. We've got Brian on the line. He wants to say hi. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are you? Mr. Reiner, it is an absolute privilege to speak with you.
If you call me Mr. Reiner, I won't call you Brian. Call me Carl.
All right. Carl, I appreciate it. Listen, I'm in my mid-40s, so I grew up with Dick Van Dyke. And as I had two middle teenage kids, it's about the time Two and a Half Men was coming out and everything. I was very kind of cynical and dirty, and, you know, that's how they get all their laughs. And I had to turn my children on to you. So I told him, I said, sit down, you guys got to watch this. You know, this is when you didn't have to swear and everything didn't have to be sexual. It's actual comedy. And I turned it on and they said, Dad, this isn't black and white. I said, yeah, shut up, sit down, watch this. It was about 2 weeks later, there were about 18 episodes of Dick Van Dyke on our DVR. And it became once a week we would do a six-hour block of that show. To where, I mean, it just proves that the work that you did there was timeless, because it can come in and it can compete against anything that's going on now. And it really opened my kids' eyes to what classic television is all about.
That does my heart good, because when we were doing the show, I had a feeling there was a timelessness to it, because it was about a real family. I tried to emphasize it was my wife and I, it was the Peccadillos, and we were two against the world rather than two against each other. And I had a feeling we'd go in, and I assiduously stayed away from using any slang of the day. So I had a feeling we're gonna go on.
Yeah, and you didn't have to, Brian. Thanks so much for that phone call. And by the way, as I read your book, your address in New York, it was the same address as the Dick Van Dyke address on Bonnie Meadow Road.
Right, except I put a 4 in front. Ours was 48. I put a 448, so they wouldn't be bothered. People who we sold the house to, and by the way, they loved the fact that everybody thought it was a house, and they told everybody.
And by the way, Carl, we did a check. The Lawrence Hotel you were in was up in Uptown area, so you were a bit of a distance from downtown. It was put on the market in 2007, so hopefully whoever bought it knows that you stayed there. By the way, I love you opened the book with a great story about a wonderful bar mitzvah speech that you gave, except it turned out you didn't write it. Your dad did, and he was letting the neighbors read it, too.
Well, that was the stories popped accidentally. This was a letter I got while I was writing the book. I got this letter, which became the front piece in the book, actually. Mrs. Fiorello said her father read this speech, and he said that the handwriting was something that he couldn't have written. His father's family couldn't have written. My father was an engraver and lived across the hall. They were friends. And I looked at the back, and the bar mitzvah speech was made 1 year after my bar mitzvah, and I read the first words. It said, "Worthy assembly." I said, "My God, that's my bar mitzvah speech in my father's hand." He was an engraver, so a lot of cute curlicues and swirls, and I couldn't believe that 80 years later, I have an original copy of my father's.
And it's in the book. You put every time you refer to a document or something, it's in the book. There's photos in the book. Another thing that makes it, I guess, just such an easy read. And by the way, for those of you, maybe you didn't know that Carl created Dick Van Dyke, but of course he also played Alan Brady. And so now you're going, I know exactly who that is. Carl, there's so many people to talk to you. Let's bring Arlene on. Arlene, she's got a thought for you. Hi, Arlene.
Yeah, hi. Carl. Beautiful to hear from you. Listen, you are so creative, and you're doing all these things, like, from a long time ago. How about now starting with, like, you and, like, say, Betty White, all your older people, get them all in on something. The thing that Betty White has going on now is, like, really kind of stupid, and I'm sure that you could really make something fabulous out of it.
Thanks, Arlene. Well, what do you think, Carl?
What are you talking about? Make fabulous.
Well, I think she's trying to say, you know, these days Betty White has that new show about seniors, playing pranks.
No, you know something. I think my performing days are over. She's a much stronger human being than me.
But you are the same age, pretty much.
No, but I wake up and can't wait to get to my computer. I'm writing. I have another book already finished, and I'm doing a third one. And so these are novels, but I. I like to spend my energy doing that because I get the most pleasure out of that.
All right. By the way, I'm going to throw a trivia question out. I don't know if we'll have time for the calls. Carl's wife, beloved wife Estelle, she's passed away. You write about that. She did iterate one of the most famous movie lines of all time. I'm going to put it out there as that. And if you know the line, you know the movie. And if you know the director, you'll know why. Call in and let us know if you've got it. We'll put that out there as a challenge to you. Carl, let me grab another phone call. Gary wants to talk about Dick Van Dyke. Hey, Gary.
Hi, Carl.
Hi, Gary.
Pleasure to talk with you. I do want to call you Alan Brady, though. That's where my heart is mostly, from the Dick Van Dyke Show, of course. And I know you've probably gone over so many of the episodes, but one of my favorites is when Laura Petrie accidentally mentions you wear a toupee on the game show.
Right.
I think that is one of the funniest episodes we did. It was written by two guys, Bill Persick and Sam Denoff, and I say that is probably one of our funniest episodes.
I agree with you. Thanks, Gary. And, of course, the Walnuts episode, and there's so many great episodes. And, by the way, we have to take a little break, Carl, but it's also true. It was a huge deal when Mary Tyler Moore, who you hired after having just seen her legs on Legs Diamond, she wanted to wear capri pants, and she won that battle. You let her do it in one scene, a show.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, Mary came as a full package. She came with a capri pants, which was very au courant then. It was the sponsors who said, you know, that the people are complaining. I said, but it's off today. And they said, well, couldn't she wear them in some of the scenes? I said, suppose she's walking from the kitchen to the living room. You want to change pants in the doorway? She has to. Anyway, there was one thing they said, watch for the undercupping. I'll watch the undercupping. Everybody watches the undercupping.
It's a different way. It's a different place today. Carl, we're going to take a quick break, but you'll hang with me, right? Because there's 1,000 people that want to talk to you, 1,000,000 questions. Hang with me. We're just going to take a brief break, and I'll be back with the legendary Carl Reiner. This is 720 WGN. The most recognizable theme song on the planet. That's the theme from the Dick Van Dyke Show. I'm Paul Lisnick in for Mike McConnell, and we are talking to the creator of the Dick Van Dyke Show, Carl Reiner, who also played Alan Brady, but he was in so much more. It's a mad, 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 mad world. The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. And of course, Carl, your famous routine, the 2,000-year-old man with Mel Brooks, who I know you still get together with every night, you actually didn't want to make an album out of that. You had a couple of famous people push you to do that.
Yes. Well, we thought that the 2,000-year-old man, we did it at the Meshuggah shows in the office one day, and we had everybody roaring. And for the next 10 years, we did it at parties. We did it every place we ever went. We did command performances for friends, but we decided not to put it out for the public because it was the European Jewish accent, and it was 5 years after the war, and the Jews had taken quite a beating. We figured this was only for Jewish friends and non-anti-Semitic Gentile friends. And so for a lot of years, we went to one party once, and it was George Burns who came over and says, is there a record on this? And we said, no. He says, put it on record. I'm going to steal it. Edward G. Robinson actually said, I want to make a play out of that 1,000-year-old man. I can play it on Broadway. I said, it's 2,000-year-old man. He said, I can play any age. I remember that so clearly. And it was Steve Allen, in his infinite wisdom, he said, fellas, I have a recording studio where I do my jazz albums. Why don't you lend it? I'll lend it to you for a couple of days. Just go in there and wail. We got a couple hundred people together, and Mel and I went in for 2 hours, ad-libbed this album, and cut it down to 47 minutes. And it worked.
And when you guys had to perform live, you had some stories in there of being in the cab on the way to perform. Mel didn't want to do it. You had to push him. He was ready to leave. He didn't care if he made $14.
Oh, no. That was later on when it was a big hit. We sold all those albums. And now they wanted us to do command performances. Not command performances, but well-paid performances. And Mel was always saying, what are you getting me into? Because he knew that he had to come up with the joke. They were all ad-lib. I would throw questions at him, and I knew that he could not be funny. He never failed me. Every time I asked him anything, he'd search around and find something to make the audience laugh.
Oh, you tell the story of him. He poked himself in the eye, and you know he really did it because his eye was discolored. Listen, I put that trivia question out there. I said, what was the famous line that your beloved wife, Estelle, said in the film? And online, I think his name is also Carl. Carl, you've got the answer?
Yes. It was in Harry Met Sally, and she said, I'll have what she's having.
Yeah, you know, you said it perfectly. That is a funny line. And in the book, I mentioned the fact that the AFI, the American Film Institute, picked five of the greatest lines, punchlines ever in movies. And there is Estelle Reiner, and I said, one ahead of Humphrey Bogart. You know, there was
that's right.
Clark Gable saying, frankly, madam, I don't give a damn. Clint Eastwood saying, make my day. And Humphrey Bogart saying, this is the start of something. Start of a great friendship.
And of course, Estelle, she said to your son Rob, who directed it, why are you flying me across country for one line? Mom, don't worry about it. You're going to be fine.
You know, my wife is one of these people who doesn't say a lot, but she was always very funny. I mean, the comedic wise, she didn't think of herself as a comedian. She was everything else. She was an artist, a painter, a jazz singer. But hey, Robbie knew she's going to deliver, and I was. There's one thing in the book I love to tell you about. When Rob was 18, Annie was 16, my daughter, we were trying to figure out what to get for her birthday or what kind of party she wanted or what present she wanted for her 16th. And Robbie said, why don't you get her a nose job? Her friends.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah, if her friends were getting nose jobs. And I said, wait a minute. I said, her mother has a bigger nose than Annie, and I look at the handsome guy she got, and Estelle said, yes, it's not the size of your nose that counts, it's what's in it. And that got such a laugh. I told it to Steve Martin when I was doing the church. 10 years later, he calls Estelle, and he said, hey, Estelle, can I use that line? He was doing Cyrano, and there's Cyrano de Bergerac saying, it's not the size of your nose that counts, it's what's in it.
Great line, and nobody knows it actually goes back to your wife, Estelle. Your stories of Estelle, so beloved and so beautiful. And Carl, at the end of the book, you basically say, you know, look, it's not over. You give us a wish list of things that you want to happen, what makes you happy. With just a few moments left, what's the next chapter of Carl Reiner's life?
The next chapter of my life is another book, and I hope in a few months that you'll call me and say, hey, tell me about the book that this guy wrote. It's not me. It's a guy named Carl Reiner. It's like me.
And oh, it's going to be fiction?
Oh, yes, it's fiction. It's a romance.
Well, the book is called I Remember Me. You can get it on Amazon.com.
Oh, by the way, there's an e-book or an iBook. What do they call it?
E-book?
Yeah, e-book. And you can hear an awful lot of stuff on it that you can get an open. And the book is in Kindle, too.
Absolutely. Oh, look how you knew the terms. I love it. Carl Reiner, the phones were lit up. I could only get to some of those calls. Just God bless you for doing this morning. The book is fabulous. I read it literally in the course of a couple of days. It's great. And when that next book comes out, we're talking again.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
All right, the legendary Carl Reiner. This is 720 WGN.